Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to The Good Life. If you just joined us, well, shame on you. You can go back. You can go listen to the podcast. You want to hear the first part because that was the background of my guest, Mimi McCormick. She's, Southern culinary and wellness innovator, a restaurateur, an author, a TV cooking personality, a farmer, a rancher, a wife, and mother. And she has done so much. From such adverse conditions to be such a successful, all of those things. And part of my Pinewood Kitchen is the building and the place where it is out in the country in Tennessee. Let's talk just a little bit about the place. There's so many interesting things in the history, and it goes pretty far back.
Yeah. I mean, Pinewood was first settled in the early 1850s, maybe late 1840s, by a man named Sam Graham. And Sam Graham did not believe in slavery. He came from the Carolinas. He came with a land grant, and he didn't believe in slavery. He believed in the equality of all men. And he also, it was a dry community, and he built Pinewood, and he built this sustainable town and community, which has never been incorporated. It's its own unincorporated community of Pinewood. And he had his own cotton mill, and he had his own sawmill, and he grew his own food, and he had his own livestock, and they had their own building called the Pinewood Commissary, which was the Pinewood store originally. And he also had his own money called Pinewood Dollars, and that was so that he could pay everyone in scrip, in his own money. And so Pinewood has always been a place of freedom in some regard. And for me, my husband's family bought it about 40 years ago. They were, like I said earlier, they were the Winn-Dixie family. Uh-huh. A.D. Davis would have been my father-in-law. And they had cattle ranches all across the country, Wyoming, Montana, Colorado. And they bought this as part of the Winn-Dixies. And it's, you know, we're the last of the family to own this land. And so Pinewood for me is a place of freedom, and food and what we eat is our map to freedom. It's the road to freedom. So if we have access to real food and fresh food, then we have wellness, and with our wellness, we have freedom. So it's pretty spectacular that my journey has brought me to Pinewood.
Wow. And it's still labeled as a general store, and you still got gas pumps out front?
Yeah, I actually just took out my gas pumps because I couldn't. I mean, it was just getting to the point where it's really hard if you're a teeny little gas station. So, yeah, I'm the whole town. I've been the gas station, the general store, the restaurant, and the mercantile, and the farm. And there's nothing else in Pinewood but me, McCormick. But I mean, actually, my life is like Petticoat Junction or Green Acres, because I'll be in the restaurant and somebody wants to buy something in the mercantile, and I'll run real fast across and go through the side door and meet them behind the register. I mean, it's really, I can't make up what happens in Pinewood. It's just always a little bit, it's like the Wild West. I think it's what Pinewood is, what we used to be. We used to be a community that was built on community. So my farm feeds the restaurant, which brings the people. Well, you know, more burgers I sell, more bean burgers I sell, more produce I sell, more mushrooms I sell, then more help I hire on the farm, more help in the restaurant. And everybody is predominantly local that works there. And so it's a real cycle of life and local life.
It is. I was remiss. I didn't mention the beginning. Folks, if you want to learn more, there's links at goodlifeguy.com, of course, but pinewoodkitchenandmercantile.com. It's all those words together, no dots, no dash, no dots, no space. And it's such an interesting visit, and there's some beautiful pictures. You're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram with more pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And then that leads to the pictures in the book. I told Max, I was looking at some of the things here, and I got to go to lunch, and there's fried chicken. You're killing me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, like the food. So people say, is this a healthy book? Is this a wellness book? Well, first of all, we view the word healthy as punishment. So I say, oh, I've got to eat healthy because I ate bad. And so we look at fresh food as punishment, but Southern food and food in the heartland, in Kansas, in Ohio, and in Indiana, that is some gorgeous food, okay? Oklahoma, Texas, we grow great food, and it is good food for us. It's just changing the way that we prepare it and the ingredients that we use to prepare it. And so what my Pinewood Kitchen is, when I first opened, I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to make lotus root soup, and everyone's going to love it. Well, they don't all love it, and I still make the lotus root soup. But I also realized that for me to inspire my community to change, I have to be the grace. So I needed to listen to what they wanted to eat, and then I needed to find a way to make it with the best possible ingredients. So no, eating fried chicken every day is not good for you because it is fried. But if you're having digestive issues, if anyone in your family is having digestive issues, which most people have one person in their house that gets stomach aches, that has gas, that has acid reflux, then that's a red flag that what they're eating is not serving them and supporting them. And so my book is to inspire people to look at their food from a different point of view. So I do make fried chicken in the restaurant, but mine is gluten-free. Yeah. Because believe it or not, you don't have to have celiac, but you can have weak digestion and gluten can trigger a reaction. And science is catching up with the gluten sensitivity test to see, are you sensitive to it? So, you know, people always get upset and they're like, well, you ain't really gluten-free. No, you don't have celiac, but maybe you just want to try something to feel better. And my goal is to have a little teeny restaurant where people can come and try something and hopefully they feel better. Because if we will support people on their journey to wellness, then they will rise. And if they rise, then we all rise. And that's really what this is about.
Well, you know, there's a statement on the website when it says, meet me. And I didn't read that far to everyone listening, but you forged a way for a new kind of hospitality, a fully inclusive table where everyone can eat delicious Southern comfort classics without sacrificing taste, regardless of even the most severe food allergies and dietary restrictions. And that really, it's almost like, it's kind of included in the front part of the book, but 130 crazy delicious gluten-free recipes to reduce inflammation and make your gut happy. Sounds like, oh, it's probably one of those healthy books. Well, you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be on the show, and I wouldn't be talking about it if it was just that, even though there's nothing wrong with that. But I look at Pinewood Crispy Frish, you know, in the picture, and I read the recipe, and I go, well, you know, I bet you couldn't tell the difference between...
Oh, it's delicious. Well, and the other thing is that when I set out to really do this book, I went through old Southern cookbooks from the 1800s. And I grow all my own produce. So I grow heirloom seeds that are native to my land. So purple hull peas, zipper cream peas, sweet potatoes, North Georgia candy roaster pumpkins. All these things are native to the South and to this region. And my goal was to really just go back and cook things. If you're going to make fried fish back in the day, they didn't have wheat. You know, that was expensive. You grew corn, you put up that corn, and you made cornmeal, and you made your fish with cornmeal. So it's just changing the ingredients. And each recipe is for however you need to eat. So if you have a corn allergy, you're going to use almond meal. If you're grain-free, you're going to use an almond flour, and it's going to be a grain-free fried fish. If you're dairy-free, then I'm going to show you how to make coconut sour cream. If you're not dairy-free, then you're going to make regular sour cream. So it's about, each recipe is really about, how do I inspire you to eat and cook for your family? And the inclusivity is, how can we become more inclusive, empathetic, and thoughtful? And if we can start at my tiny little table, and that's the message that I put out in the world from the littlest town you've ever been to, Pinewood, which has about 200 people in it. If we can be so thoughtful and so inclusive, so can the big chain restaurants. So can the big bougie restaurants. We slow down every, I mean, when you look at food allergies, let's just talk about food allergies in families and in children. And then that applies also to people that have gone through chemotherapy, that have digestive issues as a result, people that have diabetes that need to eat keto, people that have Hashimoto's thyroid autoimmune disease that can't have gluten. I mean, the tentacles are not just food allergies. They're what's happening in our homes. And so you have at least one person in every big family or group that is trying to eat a specific way, whether it's paleo, keto, whether it's low glycemic, or it's celiac, or it's a nut allergy, or if it's a soy allergy, or a corn allergy, or a dairy allergy, or an egg allergy. You have at least one person in every household has someone. And when they go to restaurants, you're really shamed. You know, the waiter gives you the stink eye. The chef is taught in culinary school that that's not really cooking, and that's annoying, and that's a problem. And usually that person feels bad, they're left out, and or they go home with an awful stomach ache because of cross-contamination. Yeah. So the South is really about hospitality. It is about being hospitable. It is about being kind and jovial. And so what I've done in my little tiny restaurant is I've created a culture with my team, from my servers to my cooks to my dishwashers. First of all, they're all paid a living wage, and they all share tips. It is the best job in the county, because if we will value service workers, then they will feel valued and they will shine at these jobs. They are noble people doing a noble man's work. And that is another goal of mine, is to change our opinion of serving and to encourage people to live with the servant's heart. So this community and this culture that I've created in the tiniest place you've ever been, when you walk into my restaurant, that food is so good, and it is so inclusive, and it is so down home, and it is so refreshing to have a server that looks at you and goes, oh, girl, you're going to love this cake. Or somebody that says, I got you. I'm going to help you. I'm here for you. I support you. It's changing things. I mean, people come to Pinewood not just to eat my food because it is insanely good. They come to Pinewood because they belong, and they're participating in, A, supporting a rural community, B, they're participating in trying to feel better in their bodies, and they're participating on a bigger platform of the world, which says, we have a health crisis in our country. We're now feeling as helpless as possible. We feel that we can't go to work because of COVID. We know that if we have obesity or diabetes in our family or heart issues, that we're high risk, but we don't know how to change that. And we're not going to go to some health food restaurant because we're intimidated. But we'll go to Pinewood Kitchen because we know that that woman that's serving us is going to see herself in us, and she's going to support us. And this is how I think we make I feel like this is how I'm making my country better.
I'm smiling from ear to ear, and I'm already figuring I got to go to Florida sometime in the not-too-distant future. My brother lives in Tampa, and we're going to cruise through the eastern part there and 45 minutes outside of Nashville. Good Life Guy's coming for a visit. Can you stay through one more break?
Absolutely. I'm having a ball.
Good deal. This is Mee McCormick. The book is called My Pinewood Kitchen, A Southern Culinary Cure. I kid you not. When you read the recipes and you look at the pictures, you go, well, that's not what it said on the cover. Well, it is. Yes, there's some ingredients that maybe you haven't cooked with before. But, beautiful food, beautiful photography. We're going to give away a copy of the book, but not yet. It'll be the next break. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Food, wine, and fun. And wait till you hear about the wine of the week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.